When I was coming to the church this morning, I sensed that everything was flat. I sense people are just very down in their souls, very low. I sense that we struggle. Life is tough. It's really tough. But we have a God who speaks to our hearts. And as we receive the word today, let us take it as the word of the Lord to our very needs today. And the text I want to bring today, the word is, we are secure in Christ our Lord. We are secure. Even when you feel low, as you were this morning, you are secure. We are secure whether in life or in death. Our hope goes beyond all the challenges of life. Our hope goes beyond everything painful that we may experience. Even young people in high school, they go through stress because of the assignments. They want to play basketball and they want to go through the curriculums. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ can give you strength also to do that if you rely on Him and ask Him. I met a young boy. I saw him on Thursday. I was going to the assembly in the city. I took the train. He was on the other side, a young Sudanese man, very tall. And I could see that he was really damaged in some ways, and he was vaping. And as he was vaping, and he was just coughing, and I was on the other side. And I said, you are struggling. And he thought I was just greeting him because I greeted him earlier. And then when I did this, he also wanted to greet me. He was extremely polite. He put his hand also. He thought I was just greeting him. And he was also greeting me this way. Well, yesterday I came to church and we were going through the service sheet. As I finished, my wife dropped me. We got one car. On my way back from Monash University, this young man came on board. And I had the opportunity, I said, I saw him yesterday, and through the day I was thinking about him and praying for him. And when I saw him, I just jumped to sit next to him and introduced myself, and we chatted. He went through great stress, and his mentally was devastated. And I asked him, do you believe in Jesus? He said, I am a believer. And there was a great smile. And I could see even his hands. He couldn't even move his fingers. But he was a delightful young man, 26. As I was speaking to him, even he was just repeating the things I was saying. And I asked him, how did you get to that level? And he said, well, that began when I was in grade 9. And I went through stress. I was trying to play basketball and also trying to attend to the curricular activities. And he couldn't. I will see him again. Even through griefs and struggles, also we can be defeated. And our Lord Jesus teaches us in the gospel. And Apostle Paul is picking up after the Lord. Here, with this issue of our security in Christ, Apostle Paul is just assuring us all that Jesus has taught us. And in this text, he's talking about the hope for those who die in Christ. And some of us may ask me today, why this sermon on 1 Thessalonians 4, this funeral text? Well, on Thursday, we were at a funeral of a dear lady, Rosie Langford's mom, Helen Teal. And that was the very text that was preached that day. It was appropriate because that was to comfort the family and to tell them the security that is theirs in Christ. And I want to answer this question, why this text, and I two ways to do this. We preach this because we are preaching through 1 Thessalonians, and we cannot escape any text. That is why we visit this. Secondly, Jesus preached about the place of our loved ones who have died, those whom we love so much and are no longer with us. Jesus cares so much, and he wants to assure us of their place in his kingdom. Because as we were there on Thursday, certainly Teal's family were mourning the departure of a saint, a mother, a grandmother. And that bereavement, that tearing apart is so painful. And so we ask questions, when are we going to see them? And also, what is their position? And Apostle Paul, in this short letter, has already refers to the second coming of Jesus a few times, and I will take you through all of this, which means the second coming of Christ is so central to the teaching of the Bible, and particularly this text, these short verses of 1 Thessalonians chapters 5 only. And yet, in all the 5 chapters, Apostle Paul referred to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Firstly, in chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, we see how our faith is directly linked with the second coming of Christ. That is what Apostle Paul is saying. For the Thessalonians believed in Christ, and it was reported to him what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You turn away. That is our repentance. We turn away from sin and we turn to God to be believers and give our back, as we were singing, turning, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. Well, there is more to come to that. Well, not only to turn, but also to wait. Because Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, the Son of God, who ascended to heaven, who rescues us from the dead, from the wrath to come, we wait for him. That is what verse 10 is saying. And to wait for his Son from heaven. We wait for him to come back. So our faith in Christ, the moment we believe, well, we are on a journey to wait for his return. Just that was the beginning of our walk with him. That is a great part of our faith. Well, Apostle Paul will build on that. In chapter 2, verse 19, he says this. He was telling the Thessalonians, for what is our hope, our joy, or crown, in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? So their ministry, it was in the light of the return of Christ. I didn't want to jump ahead of myself. The last reference to how Apostle Paul was reminding the Thessalonians, reminding us today that the teaching on the second coming is so important, because our faith will be incomplete if does not contain this vital part of our doctrine, our confession of Christ. Now in chapter 3, he says this in his prayers, and that was one of the 3 points of my sermon 3 weeks ago. As he was praying, he said, "May these people's hearts be strengthened. May he strengthen your hearts, that is the Lord, so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father, when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." And so as we wait for his returns, the Lord Jesus Christ will be looking for blamelessness, how we live our lives as Christians. And no wonder why he wanted to remind these people. Because if they miss this teaching about those who died in Christ, and all their faith will be blamed, isn't it? Well, let us exceed to see. Because what I'm saying that here, or what we are doing here, is we are taking classes as Christians, isn't it? We are like students in classes. And we take exams when Christ returns. And each one will be rewarded according to his faith in him and how we have lived our life. And if we are not honoring Christ, we are to repent so that we will not be ashamed when he returns. And that is why Paul wants us and wants the Thessalonians not to be unaware of this wonderful truth of his coming. And that is when they think and grieve for their loved ones who died in the Lord, Jesus calls it a sleep. Death is called people who are sleeping. And now why it was so important. Now let me say quickly that Apostle Paul was writing to a young church, and it was likely that the church may not have been prepared enough to deal with all these things, how Christians express their joy and how they express their also grief. And that is why Paul had to write to them and to remind them. And that is why he touched on this in the previous chapters. And now he is going to teach extensively on this matter. And I should have said that he also referred to the second coming in chapter 5, 5 chapters. It was a young church. They didn't develop enough doctrine or develop a theology about every aspect of their faith. And we should have lived enough to understand our doctrine. So here, these people, they were concerned about the future of their families who have departed. They were Christian and they are dying. Where are they going? And how should we grieve? Should we grieve like other people who were cutting their bodies? I think I do have references that really warns us in the Old Testament of grieving like the other nations. Do not cut your bodies for the dead. If someone died, do not cut your body in grief or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. Leviticus 19. You are the children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave the front of your heads for the dead. People, when they mourn, they shave their heads. And Paul is saying, we are to be distinctive. We are very different because we are a people who have a hope. Our Savior is returning, and the death is not final. It's not called death, it's sleep. He was preparing them. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the people on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. Treasured possession, not to be left to decay forever, but to be raised to glory. That is Deuteronomy 14, 1-2. Again, in the New Testament, Apostle Paul teaches that we are Christians. He was reminding us, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, like Thessalonians. They were pagans, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Apostle Paul was talking about this, and Jesus also taught about this. He called Lazarus, who was sleeping. He said, our friend Lazarus is sleeping, but I'm going to wake him up. And that is what Jesus is going to do when he returns. He will wake us up. Now, Apostle Paul gives us the body of teaching. What is this? What is the matter here? Apostle Paul says, I want you not to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. And now this is what he is teaching these people. He says in verse 15 and 17, are the body of his teaching, according to the Lord's own word. Wow. According to the words of the Lord himself. It's Jesus who is saying this, and Apostle Paul is just repeating what Jesus has said. He said, according to his word, we tell you that who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. So what he's saying here, the first thing, the place of those who die in the Lord is far glorious than what they think. Because sometimes we think if you are closer to Christ, maybe you possess the better position. Maybe you will receive the crowns. You grab them quick. Just going to court during the lockdown and you grab all the tissues. It's not like that. Jesus declares this, that I care and I love these ones for whom I have died. Even though they have died, and I don't call it death, I call it sleep, because I have defeated death. Those people, they shall rise first. Their position is better than us, who will be, maybe if the Lord has to return here, we will not go ahead of our loved ones who have died in the Lord. Because it can be a concerning one. Those who have taught us the faith, and have departed. Those who have lived great faith on earth here, and just imagining that they will be the last people, that can grieve us, isn't it? Because we want to honor them. We want them to be closer to the throne. Because they have shown us the way of faith. They have taught us to be strong and courageous and to believe for Christ and to wait for his glorious return. So, now they are not with us. So the comfort for us is that they will be honored greatly. And so, they are to be encouraged. The Thessalonians are to be encouraged and not to grieve like others who have no hope, who have buried their loved one, and that's it. And they can only mourn and cut their bodies and shave their heads. But he was telling them, these are the words of the Lord himself, and you are to be encouraged. And that was what was encouraging the TL family on Thursday, and many of us who were there. Last month, Bruce TL is a friend of ours. Many of us here, and myself and John Neal, we do have a fellowship with him from time to time. And last month, I was at their home, and Helen herself wanted to prepare a cup of tea for us. How about her very children and grandchildren? Will they not grieve? How about her husband? Who will be missing him greatly? Missing her greatly. Certainly the families are still having fresh memories about her. And all of us who have seen her. And we can grieve. But we are called according to the word of the Lord himself, the Lord is encouraging us that these ones, these faithful ones, they shall rise certainly when I come. And we who are alive will not precede those who have fallen asleep in the Lord. Another thing also that Apostle Paul was trying to press upon the hearts of these young Christians, he said, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we who will be here also, we will join these wonderful Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And together we shall see our Lord and we shall rejoice together. That is very important for Apostle Paul to press upon the hearts of these people, because this will encourage them. That is why he says in verse 18, therefore encourage each other with these words that are very of the Lord himself. You know, Christian, we are called to love one another, to have great memories for one another. Those who have prayed for us, those who have loved us, those who have supported us, those who have walked with us, those who have cried with us, those who have grieved with us. And these people, when we see them and when we shall be called together, our joy will be so great. We will rise in Revelation 19. We will rise and sing Hosanna when the day of the Lord comes. We shall rise and sing Hosanna, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. Let us rejoice and be glad. There will be great joy on that day when the Lord shall gather the redeemed and bring them to the throne of God. So Jesus cares for every single believer. And we don't occupy greatest position because of the proximity. We are closer. No. We are. The Lord has prepared a way for us. Why should we be confident that this is the ultimate truth? Let me go back to verse 14. Because this is our very faith. Why we believe this? Verse 14 tells us why this is so important. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. We believe that is what makes us Christians. Because that is what our faith is. We believe that Jesus Christ has died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. That is part of our confession. Otherwise, we don't have faith in Christ. That is why we should believe that Christ will return and the dead shall rise first, and we who are alive together, we will be caught up. That is our Christian hope. That is what gives us strength and faith in the face of death. Because death's power has been broken on the cross of Calvary. When we were going through the preparation for ministry, in what we call ministry formation, we had to go through a lot of things. Even funeral and caring for the dying. And we were told by one of the pastors that he was standing by the bed of a soldier, a believer, a saint, who was going to be with his master. And this pastor was sitting beside the bed and holding the hand of his dear brother in Christ. And this man of God would close his eyes, and the pastor would think that this is the end. And he would just hold his hand, and then a few minutes later, he will open his eyes. And then the pastor will ask him, how are you going? And he will respond saying, I can't wait. I can't wait to be with the Lord. What a grace. This is the assurance. This is our faith that Jesus has died and rose again. And if we die, we shall rise with him. So death does not frighten us anymore. And Apostle Paul himself, in his teaching, he said to die is gain. He is in the business. those who are doing business gain, isn't it? Something over the capital. You see, to die as a Christian is gain. To live is Christ. You live, you are serving, dying, seeing Christ. Nothing shall separate us from the Lord himself, even death itself. And that is why Apostle Paul is saying, we believe, this is our faith, this is part of our faith. That is verse 14. Why it is so important for us to believe this. Verse 16 also, add to that part as well. For the Lord himself will come down. It's himself, it's not someone else. If you are longing for his returns, for they will be crowned. For those who love his appearance. And I think James tells us this, if I can remember from the top of my mind. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crowns of life that God has promised to those who love him. And Peter also talks about the crown that will be given to those who are waiting for his return. To have that faith ringing in your hearts, longing for the return of Christ. Why should we not long for his return? Because there will be no pain, isn't it? When we shall be transformed, there will be no traffic. And we know God saves. This world is a broken place. Authorities, a lot of things. Unpleasant things that were not meant for us to experience. But because of the sin and the fall, we experience these things. Well, it's Christ himself, it's not one else who will return. Verse 16 tells us. He will return from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel, the leader of the angels. This is a glorious procession for the saints. It's just a mission to come and save once and for all those who have put their trust in Christ. That this is a glorious procession. You see the procession, the king and the queen in the past, isn't it? So everything is in place, isn't it? With trumpets and everything is beautiful. Well, this is far glory than that. And guess what? It's not earthly kingship. It's very yourself. You will be king and queens yourself. This will be for every believer. And Jesus Christ has done this for us. He has raised us up into a position of honor to be kings and priests to his Father God. Why should we not long for his return? And why should we grieve like those who have no hope? And why should we be uninformed, to have no knowledge of this, to fill our minds and our hearts and to be equipped with this very truth? Because our faith, our confession is what marks us out of others, of the rest. Even when you are dying, this brother could say, I can't wait to be with my master. Other people, their thing is just zit. And their bodies will lie in grave with no hope of resurrection. So these two verses, they tell us that we believe. And also, Christ himself, the Lord himself will come. Will come. Definitely will come. So this is a message for those to encourage us and also to prepare us for our destiny to depart to be with the Lord. And with the trumpet's call of God and the dead in Christ will rise first. You see, they be given a high position, high place. And Apostle Paul says, encourage one another with this. The implication is this: if we don't obey this, if we don't believe this, like the Old Testament reading, the Lord said to this prophet, don't do this, don't do it. Even if another prophet comes, is the Lord. That is why Apostle Paul said, these are the very words of the Lord himself. He got all the authority from the Lord. Otherwise, he has no authority to teach anything. And we don't have any courage to embrace what he is teaching us if it was not from the Lord himself. The implication is that if we don't obey, like that prophet we read of, he was told not to do this, not to eat anything on the road. And another false prophet, when he said, oh, because just of the age, because he was older, the younger prophet thought that because he is older, he hears God more. No. And please don't do that too. Test things for yourself in the Word of God. Test things. Is it true? Is it the Word of God? This man, he was told by God himself not to eat on the road. And he listened to another prophet. And he died. So Apostle Paul is expecting us to believe this and to be encouraged and by this, because these are the very words of the Lord. And if we are not encouraged, and then there is no any encouragement that we can get anywhere else. This is very important. Our confession, our faith in Christ include the future resurrection of our bodies and the bodies of our loved one who will be in a high position. And also the Lord himself will come and we shall see him and we will be gathered with him. And the Thessalonians now, after this, reading this and being informed with this, they will be even more different. They will shine for the Lord. They will have no troubles in expressing their grief. Certainly they will grieve, but not like other people who have no hope. And we should not do that as well, because we are a people who have been given hope beyond description. The hope that our Lord Jesus Christ, who is in heaven, who has given us his Holy Spirit to comfort us in this journey. As we face the departure of the loved one, next Saturday, I will be involved in a funeral of a young woman, only 32, who died 2 weeks ago. She got siblings. Even she got a daughter who is 11-year-old. And they will be grieved. As a person who has been given this privilege to read this text, how are these people going to grieve? Will they grieve with hope of resurrection or not? Certainly they will be grieving. There will be a lot of crying. And it's a terrible thing. But we are called to be comforted by these very words of our Lord Jesus Christ when we lose loved one. And also to be prepared to know that they have a high position with their Lord. The Lord cares for them. And he will show them first to us that they have departed. And I should have said that during those times, even those who have departed during that time with the Thessalonians, some of them were murdered for their faith. Just imagine, some of them were murdered for their faith. That is why Paul was to be smuggled, had to be smuggled out of Thessalonians to leave just a young church. And the question we're coming up, what is the future of these one who have died in faith, this shameful death? And Apostle Paul was assuring them that they will be counted with the saints. Let us pray together.